Welcome to Intentionality with Paul Kemp, the podcast where we explore the possibilities and opportunities that can be created by a more intentional life. This is episode 18, and I have another guest to interview on the couch with me today. You know, sometimes you meet someone for the first time, and when you start talking to them, more specifically when you start listening to them, you look at them and think, wow, there's a lot of brain power here. And as you start talking further, as you start exploring the relationship further, you start realizing that, wow, this is a really incredible person. And this person must have read a hell of a lot in his life. That's the kind of guest I have here today. Now, usually I try not to put my guests under too much pressure. I try and make them feel comfortable. But I'm sure this guest that I have here today doesn't mind me putting him just a little bit under pressure with this introduction. And I'm going to try and put him even more under pressure. Try and impress him with a big word today. I have today with me a guest that I believe is the most erudite person I have ever met. And for those of you that doesn't know what that word erudite means, it means well-read. And so, a very warm welcome to my fourth guest on the couch, Tertius Nebo.
Thanks, Paul. I'll also like to meet this person you're talking about. The introduction was amazing, but yeah, humbled.
Thank you. Love having you here, Tertius. I would describe you as a friend, a mentor. Certainly one of the most interesting and clever people I know. An all-round impressive guy. How would you describe yourself?
There's this English word that I really love. And it's called cordywomple. So I'd like to call myself a passionate cordywomple.
Okay, you'll have to give us some more information. That is a word I've never heard before. What does it mean?
It is a person that purposefully is traveling to a vague destination. I spend a lot of time with a lot of people, especially leadership. And I realize, you know, a lot of us, we're very purposeful. And I like purpose. And you spoke about goals. And I was listening to a lot of the podcasts and being intentional, which is cool. But do we really know where we're heading towards? It's a bit vague. So that's why I like that word.
I love that. Great start. Cordywomple, vague. What did you say? Vague.
Yeah, to a vague destination.
Vague destination.
We don't really know what's up here. We're very purposeful, which is good.
I love it. Excellent. Tertius, every time you meet someone in your life, that first meeting you have with someone, you form a story about them in your head. A lot of people are meeting you today on the podcast for the first time. Tell us a bit about your story. What is your story?
I grew up in Funabel Park, very poor. My father died when I was still in primary school. So I always make a joke and say I had to push my own pram.
Okay.
My mother is mentally disabled. My brother died in 2003. So, you know, life, I've seen a lot of dimensions and things in life that makes me not resentful, but grateful. So I'm a grateful person. I love to add value. I'm very intentional. When you lose a lot of people close to you, I've had the privilege to spend a lot of time in ministry. So I've done a lot of funerals and marriages and dedications. You realize life is fleeting. It's short. So we have to be intentional about our time, our energy, our resources.
Wow. Such an interesting story. And it's so amazing to me that you can sit here and you can tell the story of challenges, of loss that you've had in your life, and still use the word grateful. I admire you for that.
Thanks.
Tertius, when we spoke about this interview, about this episode, I told you that you can tell me what it is that you want to talk about today. And you chose the topic innovation.
Yes.
And we've decided together to call this episode Intentional Innovation. Why do you want to talk about innovation today? Why are you so passionate about innovation?
For me, like I mentioned, I've got a spiritual side to me as well, but it's more than just spiritual. I'll get to that now. But innovation is so important for the communities we live in, the families we live in, the businesses we work in, because it adds value. I believe with all of my heart that we are made for a purpose, and that when we live within that purpose, we start to add value. But we need to innovate. Now, let me put it this way. Why do I think it's spiritual? Maybe that will give you a different perspective on innovation. The moment you take something that's an abstract idea, something that's fluffy or tangible, because, you know, I can't touch your ideas. But once an idea comes to fruition, so it becomes tangible and concrete, and this is very important, and it adds value. For me, that's one of the most spiritual, most beautiful things in life. I also, I'm in love with the word inspiration. It comes from the Greek word inspiritu. It literally means to resuscitate, to breathe life into things or people. You know, when someone drowns, you have to resuscitate and they go back to life. That's literally what happens when we innovate. Now, again, my definition of innovation is to take something from nothing to something, and it adds value to processes, people. And it might be function or form. You know, that's aesthetics or functionality. So it's something beautiful like artwork, which doesn't necessarily always have a functional value, but it still inspires me to act or think differently. That's innovation. Or something functional like an iPad or a new phone or even your glasses. It's functional, but it also has form. So maybe that's one of the reasons I'm so passionate about it.
That's fantastic. I like the description that you've given now around innovation and taking something that's not tangible and making it tangible, making it real in your line.
And sometimes it's not just making something new. It's taking old things and putting it forth as something new, just in a different combination or pattern or whatever the case may be.
So what role does innovation play in your life at the moment? What is it you're doing currently? Where is it that you are innovating in your life at the moment?
So I've the privileged position to be the chief innovation officer at a company called Booked. I'm sure you're familiar.
I saw Louis
was on the podcast, one of the previous podcasts. And we have a massive transformative purpose. We're literally building or innovating a tool, a platform. It's something like, I know some of our guests already know, but it's something like Duolingo, Kindle, and Udemy. Imagine they had a kid. Mm. That's what we built. It's this reading, learning platform that works with AI. Now, we're innovating to create a tool that can help people learn, to create lifelong learners. Because we live in an age that if you can read to understand, you can literally change anything, because all of the world's information is accessible. Now, the sad part is, you know, in our country, some of our grades can't read to understand. But if you can read to understand, it doesn't matter if you're born in Soweto, Sandton, or Chicago, you can change the world. So we're building that tool and we're innovating. So that's my role there. So business development, innovation, and I love it.
And there's such a transformative purpose around it. Mm-hmm. It's something that can make such a difference in people's lives. I love reading. I think you know that. I love books.
Indeed.
I love the platform. It's made it possible for me to read 3 or 4 books at one time at the moment. But I don't think we really have a reading culture in South Africa.
No.
Do you think Booked is the kind of innovation, the kind of tool that can maybe transform this culture that we have of people that don't necessarily read and get people reading again?
Oh, definitely. We made it fun with gamification, with the AI, with community, social reading, peer pressure, a little bit of peer pressure. Mm. I mean, we know for a fact that the stats say that people that buy a book, only less than 10% will finish that book. There's less than 10% engagement on that book. Mm. And with Kindle and some of the other reading platforms, even less. Our data shows that we can go up to 70% engagement. So we already know that our tool does help with that. So yes.
Fantastic. Tassis, it sounds like you have an amazing job at Book, and also as if you have an amazing team there.
Incredible team. I know this sounds like those bumper stickers, but teamwork makes the dream work. Rings true in this case. I learn a lot. There's this guy called Chip Conley. He uses a term called a mentor. It's a mentor and an intern. That's how I feel, because I'm the oldest by 20 years in this team. So I learn a lot, and I count myself blessed and lucky to be in this position with an incredible team from the top down.
And I'm sure the team says the same about you.
I hope so. You might ask.
I will. I love the way that you describe things. I love the way that your brain works. I love the way you think. Can you tell me a little bit more about what shapes your thinking, your way of thinking about things in your life?
Besides the reading, you see, I've got big ears. listening as well. So yeah. You have to like read and then listen to people. And it's very important to listen. But I think one of the main things was, still is traveling. I've traveled to about 30 countries, and I must say different ethnicities and perspectives and worldviews to listen and engage. For me, there's two things, there's a few, but proximity and timing and understanding people's problems and people. That's where innovation is. You have to listen to the people. You need to get close. Proximity is so important. So when you travel, you understand that concept. You know, sometimes you... can get stuck in your place with your friends and worldviews and perspectives. And sometimes it's just necessary to get out. And travel did that for me. I remember one specific case. We were busy with a leadership research project here in Africa. And we flew to, we went to Zanzibar. And we met this lady. She probably traveled the whole world. She was like 21, 22 when we met her. She's been traveling with her parents all her life. They literally went to every country in the world. And I asked her the question, what's the one thing about travel that you love? She said, oh, it's easy. She's from the Nordic country somewhere. She says there's a big difference between a tourist and a traveler. She's a tourist, they're very superficial. But a traveler eats the food, listen to the people, go where no one wants to go. And that's important. They're intentional in traveling. So I think tourists are not as intentional as travelers are. And that shaped me.
Love it. You're way ahead of me. I think I'm only up to 10 countries. I've got a lot more traveling to do.
Oh, we just started.
Yeah, very intentional about that. Of the 30 countries you visit, just quickly, your favorite and why?
Oh, I love the U.S. It's just vast and big. I've been up and down, zigzag around most of the states. I think I just need two states, Alaska and New Mexico, but the rest of the states I've been, it is just incredible. I like the size. I love Europe as well, but the US is incredible. London is one of my favorite towns. There's something about London, about something magical about innovation in London that I haven't seen in most other places. So one of my favorite cities is London in New York.
Chanel and I love London as well. Hope to get there again soon.
Great.
Tell me a little bit more about how innovation can help you to live a more intentional life.
I always like to use the analogy of, you know, like a, let's say a piano. A piano has finite keys. It's only so much keys on that piano. But there's infinite song and infinite value and infinite meaning that can come from that keys, that notes. So when we work with innovation, we only have finite resources. How's it possible that we still can have patents registered and things coming forth from people's minds? It's incredible, but that's proof that it's possible to get the infinite from the finite, the limited. But when it comes to innovation, I think a lot of people, and I've got this little pattern that I've developed for myself. You've got this massive transformative purpose, which sometimes is not attainable. But then you have to understand, you have to have these goals. You spoke about goals, big, hairy, audacious goals. And all of that happens within finite resources. And here's what I want to say. You have limited time, limited energy, limited money. I don't know about you, but I've got a limited budget. limited resources. And because of that, we have to be intentional. Otherwise, we won't get traction, progress, and go through that iterations that's necessary to create meaningful innovation.
Wow. I've known you for a while, and you've touched on a few things during these first few questions already today that reminds me of some of the things that you've done in your life. You're an artist. You actually paint.
Yes.
You're a musician.
Yes.
You've spoken about your time in ministry. You're currently the chief innovation officer at Booked. There's so many different roles. You've been a mentor to me personally. Where do you find time to do all of these things and still be a family man, a husband, a father? What is it that you do that makes it possible for you to fit in so much in your life every day?
I know you and I both, I think I'm on a lesser part, have a thing called habits and routines. I have certain routines and habits, micro habits, atomic habits that I adhere to. I'm not that good though. but rhythm, I believe in rhythm. You know, the world is chronological clocks, you know, that's a rhythm. In its sense, there's seasons in nature, that's a rhythm. You know, you've got the chronotypes and the circadian rhythms, and all of life is in these increments. And sometimes, even if we want to go into infinite rest, that's also kind of planned. So rhythms is to find your rhythm. And I can feel when my rhythms are off. Mm-hmm. So then I try to get back to those rhythms, or sometimes I need to change rhythm, especially when certain relationships become toxic, or I become, you know, anxious, or you'll start to notice when things are off. It's like music. You can hear when the rhythm is off. Sometimes in your own life, you know, that's maybe one of the parameters and the ways to have a feedback loop and say, you know, things work or they don't work.
Okay. During some of the previous episodes, I've spoken at length about the things that I do in my life, the rhythm, the routines, the habits, the behaviors that help me to be more intentional. Maybe one or two specific habits that you can think of that you apply in your own life to be more intentional?
So I'll say there's three things that's very important is diet, exercise, and then maybe a cognitive exercise where you reflect or do something where your brain goes into another mode. Mm. And I wake up very early in the mornings, have a coffee and reflect. Mm. So those are three of my habits of the many that I exercise in.
I love it. You're reminding me of some of the previous episodes that I've done. There was an episode where I spoke about 10 tools yes. to live a more intentional life. And you've certainly mentioned some of them. And then the previous episode where I spoke about longevity, I spoke about the 10 behaviors or habits that can help you to extend your life expectancy. And what you've just said today fits in very nicely for that, with that. So thank you for that. Tertius, I know you've listened to some of the podcast episodes before.
Indeed.
I think you know I share a tip of the week every single week with the listeners. And when I have someone on the couch here with me, I'd like to ask them if you don't have a tip of the week for our listeners today. And it can be anything, you know, a good book you've read, maybe a good movie you've seen, anything that would maybe inspire or motivate the listeners.
So one of my favorite books is Daniel Kahneman wrote a book, Think Fast and Slow. And he talks about this two systems, system one, system two thinking. In my life, it helped me with understanding how the brain works and social behavior and people. We are born with, they call it heuristics or preconceived ideas, about 142 of them, already pre-programmed. But there's 24 main ones that kind of dictate social behavior. And when it comes to communication, marketing, and leadership, these things are essential to understand. So in front, you've got your prefrontal cortex, which is the system two. And you're at the back, your system one. All your sensory data comes through your system one. It's subconscious. So you are upset before you know you are upset, or you're happy before you know you're happy. But how these two systems work together, the one chows energy like crazy, the other one is 24/7, 365. That's where all your desires and habits and all kinds of things dormant, and you do stuff without noticing you're doing the stuff. And I would recommend our listeners, your listeners, the community out there, to read that book, or even if you can just get a summary or go watch a video on YouTube on how System 1, System 2 works. It's going to reveal a lot about yourself and why you are tired. You know, apparently, somewhere in the day, your System 2 shuts down, prefrontal cortex, and then you act from System 1. And then you spend money you don't have. You do stuff that's irrational. There's actually a cool book called The Upside of Irrationality that's built on this science. So go check it out. System 1, System 2. conscious thinking and subconscious thinking.
I definitely have my next read. I haven't read that book. I will make a point of reading it. And I must say, you've lived up to the expectations. I'm glad I put that pressure on you with that introduction, because you've lived up to it 100%.
Proof is in the pudding. Let's see if the viewers like it.
Thank you so much for joining me on the couch today. It was a real pleasure sitting down with you and doing this interview with you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Paul.
And that's it for today's episode. All that's left to do is to thank my wonderful production team for all the efforts behind the scenes. Thank you to FFG for your continued support of this podcast, and for helping us create memories on this journey together. If you want to get hold of me, please send me an email to paul@iwpk.co.za, and congratulate yourself for making the choice of living a more intentional life, of being the architect of your own success. I wish you a wonderful, intentional week. Thank you for your support, and join us again next week.